From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 570, Query Store and Automatic Tuning in SQL 2017, with guest Aaron Stellato. Recorded Monday, January 22nd, 2018. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. Bringing back Erin Stellato today. She's a principal consultant with SQL Skills and a data platform MVP, and she's worked with SQL Server since 2003 and is still surprised when companies don't have database backups. She's focused on many areas with the SQL Server product over the years, including statistics, extended events, baselines, performance tuning, and more recently, Query Store. And in spite of every attempt to avoid the cloud, Erin has finally embraced the world of Azure and knows enough to be dangerous. And every time she tries to tire out her two dogs, keep up with her two kids, and catch a movie when the stars align. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, glad to have you on. I mean, we see each other at the CQ&A session at Intersection twice a year, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. That's about it. Yeah, you're busy traveling.
Yeah, I'm always off doing something crazy. Better than real work. That's what I tell myself anyway.
Agreed.
It's sometimes astonishing to me that SQL Server does keep evolving. What I really like about those Q&A shows, twice a year, we sort of check in with not only the state of where Microsoft folks and their alumni is sort of an intelligentsia are, but the questions from the audience are evolving too.
They are.
Yeah, they seem to be learning more. They're worried about different things. And these and new features creep in that penetrate the gestalt that they're thinking about how to work with them.
Yeah, the funny thing that I find whenever a new feature comes out is we're always so focused, I think, from our side on how we get it in place and how we can use it. And everybody who's got a solution, their angle is, how's this going to affect me? How's this going to affect what I already have? So many of those questions end up being, how does this play into what I've got already?
Yeah. Right?
And it's a completely different angle sometimes than we're thinking of it.
I think we just presume we're going to take advantage of the feature, like we're just, you know, getting to work on it, where honestly, I think it's a fair engineering mindset to say, do I need to know this?
Right.
What does this bring to the table to me that I care about?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But the name Query Store sounds important.
It is. And it actually was Query Data Store
okay. For
a while. And sometimes you'll see things in the code that say QDS, and it's referred to now as Query Store. And Connor talked about this several years ago. And so it's something that's been in the making for a long time. And it is, I think, vitally important to any database administrator, any administrator who's managing a SQL Server database.
Is Query Data Store a better name in the sense that it's data about the query as opposed to the query itself?
It's both.
Okay.
So it stores the query text, it stores the plan for the query, mm-hmm. and then it also stores data about the query performance. So it stores runtime stats. You'll hear me say execution stats or runtime stats. Mm-hmm. I use those interchangeably, which is how frequently was it executing? What did it use in terms of resources? And then in 2017, we also get weight stats as well.
So what was blocking it, that kind of thing?
Well, the weights for that particular query. So if a query is waiting for a page to be read from disk into memory, right, mm-hmm. a page IO latch, then that will get recorded in Query Store as a wait for that particular query. And if the query is being blocked, then it will show a locking type wait, but it won't tell you what query it was waiting on or what specifically
right.
was blocking it. It will just tell you that there was blocking and that's why it took 20 seconds to execute or whatever.
Because if I'm waiting for a page fetch, then I can argue for faster storage or more memory so stuff ends up cached. And if I'm waiting for dealing with a block, it might be a design issue, like you're building store procedures that are causing a lot of locks or other bad behavior. You can't necessarily fight your way out of that with hardware.
Correct. And so in that case, then you've got to dig a little bit deeper. So Query Store is your first method of troubleshooting, just like you would have normally used the DMVs, mm-hmm. right? But now we have historical information because it's persisted. So if I see that I've got page IO latch waits because I'm waiting to read data from disk into memory, then I have to still do some investigation to figure out, okay, is it because my storage is slow? Or is it because maybe I don't have the right index, right? And I'm doing a clustered index scan instead of doing something like an index seek. And for blocking, same thing. Okay, I know that I have blocking occurring. Now I need to dig into block process report, into potentially, deadlock reports, what's going on there, and figure out, is that you know, how's that related to design or what else is going on there?
It's not like Query Store replaces dynamic management views, right? Like DMVs seem to be more about the state of the database or the server itself than they are necessarily about any given query plan.
True. I mean, when I talk about Query Store and when you read the documentation, mm-hmm. they talk about it as a flight data recorder, right? That's right. What it's compared to. So like that black box in an airplane, which they look for in the unfortunate event of a crash.
Right.
The Query Store is giving us that same thing. It's giving us history. So if I care about something real time, what's executing right now, I am getting that in Query Store, mm-hmm. but I can also grab information from the DMVs. And there's, what, almost 200 DMVs at this point? And so obviously Query Store is just capturing data from a select few DMVs and persisting it.
I get it. Okay. Yeah. So the two are definitely related. Yeah. And I don't know if the black box comparison is valid in the sense that you don't want to only look at this after a crash. And I don't know that it's that the Query Store is still populated after a crash, if you could actually crash SQL Server, which I don't think you can do these days.
Well, I have clients who can still do it. So yes, you can. Doesn't mean you should, right?
Nope,
but yes,
nope.
You can.
You got to try pretty hard.
Right. But there is a mechanism built in that if you're shutting down your instance, let's say you're doing a proper shutdown,
right.
It's going to flush that Query Store data to disk because there's some optimizations in here, right? The Query Store data gets persisted because it's being stored in that user database. So it's being written to disk. Mm-hmm. But if you think about the frequency of execution for queries and capturing those execution statistics, that can't be written to disk all the time.
No.
And so it's being stored in memory and then it's being flushed out to disk on a regular basis. So when you go to restart SQL Server, it's going to flush everything that's in memory out to disk and it would persist through a restart. However, if you have a true crash, yeah. right, which sometimes can happen.
Let's put it under the banner of hardware failure. You have a
right.
power loss of the machine and it comes back up.
Fabulous example,
right?
Somebody pulls the plug, yeah. something crazy like that happens. In that case, data that would have been in memory wouldn't have been flushed to disk before a shutdown. So there is a chance that you wouldn't have that, but ideally you would.
Does SQL Server itself use the Query Store for optimization?
Ah, it does in some of the new features. So if you've looked at automatic tuning at all, which is new in 2017, and it's available in Azure SQL Database, there are two components to that. There is automatic index management, which is creating and dropping indexes automatically for you. And then that's only available in Azure SQL Database. But in both Azure and in SQL Server 2017, you have automatic plan correction. And automatic plan correction is designed to help you avoid the scenario where all of a sudden a query goes bad. And in the middle of the night or middle of the day or whenever, you have to figure out what's wrong and force the plan. So one of the benefits of Query Store is you have the ability to take a plan for a query and you can force that query to use the plan.
Interesting.
Okay. It is not the same as a plan guide. It is not a replacement for a plan guide. It is different, but their behavior is similar, right? So I have a query and let's say that's a query that's sensitive to different input parameters. And so for one variation, I get an index scan, and for another, I get a seek with a lookup. And most of the time, the seek with the lookup is the better plan, right? The one that I want, right? So I can force that plan for that particular query. The automatic plan correction does that for you automatically, obviously, using that Query Store data. So within Query Store, you have that enabled, and you have automatic plan correction enabled, and it's tracking performance of queries. And when there is a significant change in query performance, let's say because it went from that seek over to the clustered index scan, it can force for you automatically the last known good plan.
Nice.
Yeah.
And how is that different from plan guides?
It's a different entity within SQL Server, but there's a lot of the same behavior under the covers in that with Query Store, it's actually doing a use plan, which a plan guide, you can say use a particular plan, but they're implemented differently. Forcing a plan in Query Store is way easier than using a plan guide.
That's what it would strike me as, is like plan guides are pretty tough to use.
Oh, they're ridiculous.
Yeah.
that sounds awful, but they're pretty tricky.
Mm-hmm.
And so the forcing in Query Store is just click a button, actually,
nice.
Which is almost scary.
Well, it also, what appeals to me about the Query Store approach then is that you're building this up anyway as queries are running through the database. So you kind of, you know, in a sense, you're looking at, here's sort of a history of popular queries in our system. And the fact that they have good plans or bad plans, you know, is interesting all by itself. But then to be able to tap that store and say, that was a great way to execute that. You should do that most of the time.
Exactly. I love it because I love baselines. Like that mm-hmm. was one of the first things that I started talking about when I started working with SQL Server, because I worked at a software company and all the time we had customers who called and they would say the software is slow, right? They always would say the software is slow and they would blame the database, right? And you would always say, well, what is slow? And there was never a number attached to it. And so I talked forever about baselining, and baselining query performance, it's not easy to make it elegant, right? And to make it really easy to use. And there's third-party tools that do that, but Query Store is built into SQL Server, right? You don't have to install anything else.
It's happening all the time.
Yeah, and it's in every edition. It's in Standard Edition and Enterprise, it's a rolling history of database performance.
That's awesome. Of course, I'm an old school SQL guy, so I remember building baseline sets for Profiler.
And there you go.
And of course, the set you wanted was a prime time set. But the cost of doing event tracing, doing that capture during prime time, was literally crippling the performance of the business. Like, it was terrifying to even consider doing that.
Yep.
Not only was it a huge amount of data, it was many gigs, back when many gigs was a lot.
Right.
And it happened fast, but it impacted production performance in a non-trivial way.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
And it still can.
Sure.
Even with extended events, right? Which is, I have to give a plug for it because it's the replacement for Profiler. But even with extended events, depending upon your workload, you can absolutely introduce overhead when you're trying to capture a representative data set.
Yeah. And that's always the problem. So again, it makes me super excited about Query Store. It's always a representative data set because it's what's happened.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So this is good. Do we still want to do a lot of event tracing, or is it event tracing for the purposes of performance tuning? Sounds like probably don't need to do that much anymore between Query Store and the automatic tuning options.
You probably don't. But the thing about tracing or capturing an extended events file is that gives you individual query performance.
Right.
When we talk about Query Store, your performance data, the runtime stats, that's an aggregate. Mm-hmm. Because it can't, think about trying to capture, you already mentioned it, right? Gigs and gigs of data for a sample workload. Nobody wants to store that, and capturing that is expensive. So Query Store is handling this by aggregating that performance data over a particular window of time. And the default is 60 minutes.
Okay.
But you can make that a little bit smaller, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to slice and dice it, or if you have more interesting things that are happening in smaller windows of time, you could drop it down to 30 minutes or even 15 or 10. Understanding that smaller window means you're going to have more of that data overall, more of that runtime stats data. And there's a potential impact because you're capturing that data over a smaller window of time. But you can then dig into that. So across a 15-minute interval, I can see how frequently a query executed and what did it use in terms of CPU and how long did it take and what did it look like in terms of IO.
And I come at this from a performance tuning and an e-commerce website where afternoon on the East Coast workflow is one thing. Just to, you know, what's that steady? What are we constantly hitting? Like the catalogs being hammered on or the shopping carts being hit on, as opposed to, you know, I remember dealing with sites where their daily reconciliation crippled the site. And it was only when we did a capture during one of those windows that we suddenly realized, oh, it's administration that's knocking us on the head. We're running the admin data at the wrong time. So, you know, you get down to just grabbing 10 minutes of traffic. You're talking about a very narrow window of time about what happens in a given day, much less a given month for a given database.
Right, right. So 60 is a pretty decent starting point, the 60-minute time frame, right? An hour of data. And I have a blog post actually that talks about all those default settings and if you would want to tweak them and what to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a good starting point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Very, very powerful thing. You know, generally speaking, the first time you tinker with this stuff, certainly you want to just go with the defaults. There's nothing wrong with an hour. Then it's what hour did you want to watch? Again, we get back to that whole, I want to capture prime time. I want to look at what's leaning on us during prime time. But the fact that it's running all the time means you just got to make sure you grab it at the right moment.
Right, right. And then you just dig into that. And you can dig into that both through the UI. There are reports contained within Management Studio that you can use to look at that data and drill into it. Or because that data is stored in the database in tables and it's exposed through system views, you can query that data directly and do whatever you want with it. So you can roll your own reports from there.
And you all are able to do things like say, what's the most popular query? What's the longest running query? Like all of that sort of standard profiling mindset.
You can. Yep. Within the UI, you have that. And again, you can slice it into a specific window. So I could look at data across the entire week, right? So let me see what were my top 20 consumers in terms of CPU for the entire week. Or let me just look at it today from 8 a.m. to noon and tell me what my top 25 consumers were for CPU. And then I could change it. Do I want to look at CPU? Do I want to look at duration, I/O? Do I want to look at weights, tempDB use, which was added in 2017 as well? So tons of ways that you can slice that data, you know, to understand what's having the most impact. It's not just the heavy hitters that we think of in terms of I/O or duration anymore, right? There's a lot of ways now that you can really look at that data.
Nice. Hey, Aaron, give us one moment here for this important message. This episode of Run As is brought to you by SQL Intersection. 8 full-day workshops and over 40 technology-focused sessions make SQL Intersection a unique source of the best information around SQL Server from real-world consultants and members of the SQL Server team. You'll learn proven problem-solving techniques and technologies you can implement immediately, as well as learn about the future of SQL Server. Get answers to performance monitoring, troubleshooting, designing for scale and performance, cloud, as well as new features in SQL Server 2016 and 2017. It's time to determine your migration strategy, and SQL Intersection is the place to figure out the best way to do it. Come to SQL Intersection at the Swan Hotel in Orlando, March 25th to 28th. Use code RUNAS to get your discount on your registration at sqlintersection.com, and we'll see you there. And we're back. You're listening to Run As Radio, your host, Richard Campbell, here with Aaron Stellato. We're talking a little bit about Query Store. So this has actually been around longer than I think I necessarily realized, right? Like, it's been in a few versions of SQL Server. It just seems to have gotten better in 2017.
There was some big improvements in 2017. It actually, I mentioned Connor earlier, the first public session that he did was in 2014 at the PaaS Summit. And then it went into private preview in Azure SQL Database in 2015.
Right.
It became public in the third quarter of 2015. And then when 2016 Box product was released in April of 2016, that's when it came out probably to, I don't want to say most of us, right? There's a lot of people that are using the cloud, but there's still a lot of people that are using the Box product.
Yeah. I think on-premise is still winning. And just because you ship a version of SQL Server doesn't mean people adopt it right away. Like, I find it very challenging to get customers moving off of databases that work.
Oh, I know. I talked to a client today that was on 2008.
Wow. Yeah. No, it's 10 years now. Woo.
Right. Right. Still work.
Yeah. If it's not broken, right? And you've got to really talk through, what are we getting? What's this capability? You know, it can't be a security concern most of the time because the database is fairly far in the back end. Like, if they're hacking at your database, a whole lot of other stuff went wrong. So it's just not that same pressure to upgrade. It's got to be a challenge.
Right.
Now, that automatic tuning feature, like, certainly the sites I'm dealing with that have SQL Azure, I get an email every week or so telling me, you know, we could do this, we could do that. It's always making offers to tweak and tune performance.
Yeah, and that's something that I've really been talking to the SQL Server team about the past, I would say, 6 to 8 months, is one of the reasons that Query Store, it's pretty good, right? Like, an initial release, sometimes there's kind of like a, ooh, we don't have a lot in here. Like, it's definitely the V1. And then it's like 2 or 3 releases later where people are like, okay, I think I'm ready to use this feature.
Right. That magic version 3 when it comes to Microsoft.
Exactly. Exactly. So to me, Query Store in 2016, when it came out in Box product, ready to use right from the gate. And the reason is because it had been in Azure in use for over a year.
Right.
Being used by millions. Like, I think there's 1.8 million databases in Azure SQL Database at this point. It's up there, right? So hundreds of thousands of databases using this feature, and not just using it, but then Microsoft's getting telemetry about the use.
Yeah. That's the real power of the cloud, isn't it? Is that an overall view? It's amazing views.
It is. And that, to me, Microsoft has not touted enough, right? Because when I was fortunate enough to get to look at some of that data, not directly, right? I'm not looking at anything, but looking at the metadata that they're pulling. Here's how many people we have with databases. And here's those databases that are using Query Store, which is like, you know, 97% or some crazy high number like that. And then there's all this data, which is, it's not just gigs and gigs, like, it's terabytes of data they're getting per day, telemetry data that they're getting and they're processing that allows them to shape the product. And because it's in Azure, right, they can push those changes in there so quickly, relatively, you know, compared to what we get in the Box product. So what they've been doing and how they've been using that information to advance Query Store and other features and the automatic tuning and the intelligent insights, which are, like, to me, what's coming next, because a lot of those are also using query store data. It's really interesting. And I was reminded that query store was developed so that anybody who uses SQL Server could use it, right? Whether you're a performance tuning expert or whether you're just, gosh, you got to manage this database, good luck, right? Either way, that works for you. And then odd things like automatic tuning are ideal for those situations, right? For the person who's like, I got all these databases that my company's using. I don't know anything about them. Well, if they're in Azure, there's a lot of stuff that can be done for them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've always had that capability. You know, it doesn't surprise me that Microsoft doesn't talk about it much because it's right on the edge of that uncanny valley aspect. But all of the big cloud providers have this access to aggregate data that allows them to see how compute is used very differently. I think they're talking most often on the security side. You know, I think everybody's comfortable with the idea that somebody else on Azure was being hacked and we saw it and prevented it. And the route that they used for hacking, we've now applied to everybody. So the rest of us aren't going to be affected by it. But as soon as you start thinking in terms of the aggregate of database querying, I don't know, people get a little jumpy. They're a little nervous about the fact that that view is even available, even though it ultimately it benefits us. It's just, it's creepy.
Yeah. And nobody trusts it, right? That's something that I've run into immediately. Like sure. Eyebrows go up. You want to let SQL Server do what? You want to let it force a plan? Like yeah. It knows better than I do.
Yeah.
Well, in some cases, yeah. Right?
It's compared it to a million other queries just like yours. And this is the one that worked best.
Right. And it's, again, there's thought behind the algorithm that's being used, right? And that algorithm's been tried and tuned over time. So it's not just arbitrary. And for the companies that don't have a database administrator, it's better than nothing.
Sure. Without a doubt. They're definitely better than nothing, better than most things. Like,
right.
Yeah. Again, it's funny how it's okay in security that everybody can be comfortable with the idea that we're all vulnerable to the same things, but that everybody thinks each database is a unique gem. It's its own unique thing and has to be treated completely differently. So I think it must be all in our heads. This is entirely us that are dealing with these differences because the data don't lie.
Right.
The viewpoint they have is based on data we've never seen before.
Right. Right. Which is the whole thing that most of us argue about, right? I want data to make my decisions. Well, mm-hmm. They've got it.
Yeah. You just don't like the decisions.
You just don't trust the decisions. I think that's it.
And it's interesting when I've got to think that every so often you're getting stuff from Query Store that is counterintuitive. That this is not what you thought about how your database is used.
Right, right. In terms of what queries are executing most frequently right. Or what they're using in terms of resources. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I bet that's exactly the case. Especially as you're constantly slipping new versions out and altering people's behavior. You don't know where people are still falling. Did that new feature have a huge impact and everybody's doing it the new way, or it had a small impact and they're still doing it the old way?
Right, right. So depending on what kind of shop you are, right? Do you develop in production? Do you have a pretty fast release cycle?
Yeah.
What do you have in terms of DBAs? And are they fighting fires or are they proactively, you know, managing performance and seeing what things look like?
Sure. And ahead of the curve, behind the curve, which
right.
I find that in development as much as in operations.
Yeah. The behind the curve is where I find most people, unfortunately.
Well, and you know, for better or worse, I think it's also addictive. The great thing about a crisis is you know what to work on next, right?
Yes.
So at least you know. You just to go, all right, no, that building was on fire. That's why I worried about that building. It set its priority for us.
Right.
Where when nothing's on fire, now it's up to you to decide.
Right. There's a comfort there, right?
Sure.
Versus having to go out and actively decide what you're going to do and what you're going to focus on next.
Preventative work is hard in the sense that there's so many things you could be preventing. Are you working on the prevention of the right thing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I totally get the crisis junkies because in some ways they are obviated from responsibility.
Right.
Just to take time to study a query store and say, what are we going to optimize or where should we be redesigning the database? Where should we be adding indexes? Any of those things. That's a much more difficult thing to deal with to try and figure out the right things to do.
It is. And I also think that in some ways, Query Store could potentially enable people to put off that proactive step in that you've got that plan forcing.
Right.
Right. So to me, plan forcing is a short-term solution. It's this, we're having a problem with this particular query. I'm going to force this plan. But, right, there's a but, which is we need to figure out why we're having a problem with this and we need to figure out how to address it. Because to me, plan forcing is not let me just leave it and it's going to work for the next 5 years.
Right.
Like, it is a temporary stopgap, in my opinion.
I've told this story on one show or another, but I had a SQL Server profiler experience where we had a problem with deadlocks. I was trying to convince the developers to code around it for recovery. They didn't want to do that. Just wanted me to fix the database. So I'm trying to find the deadlock. This is a few years ago. So I run the profiler. And during a time when we typically would get a couple of deadlocks and no deadlocks, because running profiler altered the timing enough to get rid of the deadlock. And the dev's reaction to that was, well, leave profiler on all the time then. Perfect.
Perfect. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's the kind of thinking, right? It's just like, make the problem right. go away there, database boy. Just right. make it go away.
Well, you fixed it. We're good.
We did. Yeah, we're good. So all I got to do is delete a gig every few minutes and we'll be fine.
You can script that.
You know, it did give us a hint on actually fixing it. We got to the point where we were sticking weights in stored procedures. That's where we were. Somewhere, yeah.
Wow.
It was one of those interaction between half a dozen different stored procedures finally propagating a deadlock, and only at speed did it happen. I get sad just thinking about it. This looks like a better life, Aaron, you know?
It is. It is a better life.
Yeah. You just have a little more insight. What does a stored procedure look like in a query plan? Is it broken down into separate queries?
It is, because it stores individual queries.
Right.
So great, that's a great question. And the other point I want to make there is that let's imagine I've got a stored procedure that's got 10 different queries in it, right? Mm-hmm. So those are going to have 10 different entries within query store, one for each of those different queries, and then one to many plans potentially, right?
Right.
Per query. And it's tied to that object ID within query store in the sense that it stores the object ID, which means that as a developer, even as a DBA, if you want to go in and alter a stored procedure, you want to make sure that that relationship is maintained. So
right.
alter is your friend as opposed to drop and create.
Right.
Because when you drop and create, right, you're going to get a new ID, and then all those queries are going to be disassociated from that object ID. And you essentially, you don't lose your history, but it's like you've misplaced it.
Yeah, it's no longer related.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's an important thing to think about when you're forcing. Because if you force based on a query and then you alter or you drop that procedure and recreate it, your forcing's gone as well.
Yeah. So you basically create a break in history at that point.
Correct.
Yeah. For better or worse.
Yeah. I've run into that with a couple customers. So something to pay attention to there.
It's also something you could do intentionally as well to say, okay, well, we're going to V2 and I want to look at stats separately with V2. So drop and create.
You could. Yes. But I like the argument for maintaining it is, if you're going to do any kind of upgrade testing.
Sure.
This is a value add, I think, to Query Store that wasn't the original intent, but it's there. So I have a database. I run my workload, right? Things are going great. And now we are going to do a new release. Well, before we do the new release, I'm going to take my backup of my database. I'm going to restore it. I'm going to introduce the code changes using alter, right? And then I'm going to rerun my queries because I've got Query Store. I've got my data history, my performance history.
Right.
Now I'm going to rerun things again. Let me see how performance looks now, right? Is it the same? Have the plans changed? It's never been so easy to capture a before and after.
Interesting.
As it is with Query Store, because it's all right there.
Right. This is something we used to do when you really got fancy with profilers, that you could take an event trace and replay it if you captured it
yes,
properly.
Correct.
You know, the classic one was, is the new hardware better than the old hardware? Is the new SAN better than the old SAN? Like all of those sorts of elements that said, you know, are we actually faster? Typically done after the migration where people complain it isn't faster, then you'd actually, you know, do some benchmarks to try and figure out if it was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This simplifies that whole process.
It does. And it's, you know, whether it's a code change, whether it's a hardware change, whether it's a software upgrade for mm-hmm. your SQL Server or Windows or whatever.
Yeah.
Or whether you're playing with the cardinality estimator, right? And you want to see if query performance changes with the new CE compared to the old CE.
Mm-hmm.
All of that. You can get all that data with Query Store.
Oh, no. Even parallel execution. There's lots of things you could tinker with here and say,
yep.
Do I get a better result if?
Yep.
So, I mean, how many times have we worked on new versions on the test hardware, gotten great performance, and then shipped it out to production and went, what happened? Where'd it go?
And what data do I have to figure that out?
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. So I guess that's got to be the biggest thing is because it's always on. You always have an ability to grab a snapshot of production and say, this is what's actually happening in production. Why is it different from the lab?
Right. As long as you've got it enabled, as long as you've set your space appropriately. So
right.
One of the things that you do is how much space do I want to allocate in my user database for this?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure that If it starts to reach that limit, then it starts to trim that. So those are those settings that I mentioned, right? And making sure you've got the right balance of things. But theoretically, yes, query store is always enabled.
Right.
I don't want to say always on just because of
that's a product.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it should be always enabled. And this was another question that someone asked me at a conference. So like, well, I'm only going to turn it on, you know I have an issue or whatever. And I'm like, no, that's not what it's designed for. This isn't trace. This isn't extended events. This is designed to be enabled all the time,
right,
to give you a history, yeah, whether there's an issue or not, because you don't know when there's going to be an issue.
No, that's the whole point, right? It's like if we'd only put black boxes in planes we knew were going to crash.
Right. We'll save money.
Yeah, there you go. No. Have it on all the time, but have it on, yes, in a way that doesn't do harm to anything and is still, right, useful. So, you know.
Right.
What are the default values? When is it on by default? Just as soon as I upgrade to SQL 2016 on existing database, it's going to be on?
It is not currently enabled by default, okay, in 2016 or 2017. It is enabled by default in Azure SQL Database.
Right. So it is something you have to turn on and you should configure.
Yes.
Okay. And normally an hour's worth of data being kept?
Normally you're keeping, the default is 30 days.
30 days total.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And the default size is way small. Like in the box product, it's like 100 megs, which is very small. I recommend starting it at something closer to a gig or 2 gigs. And then how much space you use depends upon what you have that interval set to, right? Which defaults to 60 minutes. And it depends on how much data you're keeping.
Right.
Are you going to keep 30 days? Are you developing in production and maybe you need to keep more, right? Maybe you need 60.
Yeah.
Who knows, right? So that's business decision, but that's going to affect how much space you need.
Yeah. And it's worth thinking through and just giving it space to do that. You could keep it for longer that way.
Right.
And then be able to go back and say, where did we go wrong? Where were we having problems? Or comparing one version to another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know why you like this. This is a constant stream of baseline. That's what you like.
It is. And it's performance. It's both.
Yeah. It was fine last week. It's not fine this week. Well, let's actually compare.
Right. Let me see what fine really means.
Yeah. How it's somehow different. Aaron, awesome stuff. Where can folks learn more and where can they find you?
They can find me at the SQL Skills site. So sqlskills.com/blog/Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn more on my blog. I've got some posts related to Query Store. I've got some upcoming courses. I'm doing a pre-con at SQL Bits next month,
mm-hmm,
which is a full day on Query Store. And because that's just how much there is to talk about.
Sure. And a whole day on just Query Store alone. And SQL Intersection, obviously a supporter of this show. You'll be there. Will you be doing workshops there as well?
I actually will not be there. It conflicts with spring break. So I was very sad because I wanted to do that pre-con at, mm-hmm, that conference also. So sadly, no, I won't be there.
All right. Maybe the fall.
Maybe the fall. Yeah.
That's fine.
Back in Vegas, baby.
Absolutely. Aaron Salado, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.